Welcome to the Parent Equation Culture Shift podcast with me, Aisha Murray.
And me, Elliot Ray, from Music Football Fatherhood.
This podcast is all about celebrating the amazing work being undertaken by staff networks across the country. Individuals dedicated to supporting their fellow working parents alongside their day jobs.
Networks who not only offer guidance and inspiration within their own organisations, but are at the forefront of driving real change and a systemic culture shift.
So whether you already run a network or are thinking about starting one, each episode will give you the inspiration and tools you need to get started. Today on the Parent Equation Culture Shift, we are joined by Liz De Cruz from Centrica. And of course, Elliot is here with me as well today. So welcome both of you.
Hi.
Good morning. We are in the middle of half-term madness. So we've all been having a pre-recording chat about everything we're going through logistically this week. But we are here and we've made it. So thank you. So Liz, I suppose the first thing to ask you is, how long have you been involved in your parents' network at Centrica?
So I joined the parents' network about 3 years ago. So I returned from maternity leave at the start of the pandemic. So just as the whole world was going crazy and going into lockdown, I came back to work. I had a almost one-year-old and a three-year-old. And I just felt lost. So the parents' network was just a real asset for me. My colleague invited me to a parental returner session. It was a great chance to meet other people who were also involved in, who had also just returned to work. And I started using the network just to ask questions about parenting and how people were coping. And it was just a huge lifeline as I was adapting to coming back to work in this new world.
And I suppose then, pandemic timing-wise, how has the network, and I suppose your involvement and your, I suppose, what everyone's involvement changed, obviously from going purely post-pandemic virtual network to now, I imagine, a more hybrid networking approach?
Yeah, so I think when we first, before pandemic, we were all based in the office. So if you had a bad day, if you'd had a bit of an issue with your child at drop-off, you could just have a conversation when you got into the office. You could relate to other parents. I think now it's quite isolated. We're all at home. We're all behind our screens all the time. I think people have tweaked their hours, their lifestyles to support on school pickups and drop-offs and childcare, which is great. But I think we need to also, from a network perspective, we need to be conscious of how we're using Teams so that we're not alerting people all the time. We're not sending things out all the time. Whatever we're sharing, the content is right, the relevance is right. And I think as well, we've looked at what our members are talking about and we've used that as inspiration. So whereas we used to, we started off as just running events and posting things that were related to all age ranges. Now we try to target it at specific age ranges, so whether it be preschool or whether it be tweens.
Hi, Liz.
Hello.
Hey. Let's talk about kind of your role as a chair, and obviously balancing I'm assuming a busy day job, as many network chairs do, and then doing the caring role kind of like as an internal side hustle. How do you find getting that balance between the day job and then fitting in the time within the day and the week to do like network activities and co-chair the network?
I think organization is really key, and also having a great relationship with my fellow co-chair Amelia, having a good relationship with our committee. I think in the past I probably spent too much time on the network and less time on my day job, but I think as time's gone on, I've had to build that relationship, be open with my boss as well. My day job does come first, but then it's trying to understand how this can fit in alongside. So building it into my objectives, being clear on when I need more or less time to support, and just leaning in and out. And really just, really working closely with my fellow co-chair and other committee members to do what we can do. But being realistic, we can't do it all because we are volunteers sometimes. Sometimes we can lean in and do more. Sometimes we need to take a pause.
So talk about your boss and management support in that case. How much do you need that executive sponsorship or management sponsorship or support to help you run this alongside your job?
So I think from a manager support, I think I have that. I have a one-to-one with her every week, and we're quite open about what I'm struggling with, what I'm really loving and really championing, what's going really well with it. She's a part of the network as well. She's a parent, so she gets to see that. I think from an exec sponsorship point of view, we have an exec sponsor, and that's really great, but we have to make sure we're prioritising time with each other. And for her, it's about, for me, it's about she's there for me to open up networks, open up new inroads, new people, amplifying what we're doing. She can push me and Amelia. She can help us push our boundaries, just to make sure that what we're trying to do, we're doing it in the easiest way. I think some of how we used to approach things in the past, it was very time heavy. And because we're balancing it alongside a day job, we needed to find efficiencies. How can we do this in the best way without it taking a crazy amount of time? How can we do it efficiently?
Yeah, it's really good to hear that you've got that senior leadership support. Funny enough, actually, yesterday I was talking to a university who were doing some research around staff parenting networks in higher education. And we had a conversation around formal networks versus kind of informal networks that people set up in organizations. And I'm a big advocate for formalization and having a senior sponsor and having connections to HR and whatnot. But within that, that can only work really if you have the support from the senior leadership, you have a good champion, and everyone understands the role of the network and how that can help the organization. So in regards to, like, in your role, what advice would you have for other network chairs in regards to how you kind of manage upwards with your line manager, but also the exec sponsor and the central D&I team as well?
So we have a monthly co-chair meeting, which the head of D&I is involved in. So we all come along, we share, these are our plans for the next few months, this is what we need support on. We catch up with the head of D&I a couple of times a year on our plans as well. If we need her support, we know we can go to her. Likewise with our exec sponsor, we've got time in with her once a month. I think it's being really clear on how you work together, what we need from her, what she needs from us. And I think in reality, all of us, our day jobs can take priority. So at times we can find that time goes out of the diary. So it's fighting for that time. We're doing this as volunteers. If we need support, we need to really fight for it and really put our hand up and say, we need you. We need you to help us with this, that, and the other. How can you help open those doors with us?
Now, as well as the internal support, so you have your obviously internal networks going, you have your sponsorship. We've talked to a couple of other companies who also then try and look outside the businesses and see what other networks are doing and sort of influence and learn from each other. Is that something you do and advocate, or
it is? Yes. I actually, as Centrica, as the events lead, which was before I became the co-chair, I worked with Elliot, and I'm very much about posting on LinkedIn about this is what we've done. This is it's good for me from a professional development, but it's also good to raise the profile of what Centrica are doing. And so after working with Elliot, I posted on LinkedIn, and the co-chairs of the John Lewis partnership, the Parents Network, commented on it, and we ended up meeting up. And Becky and Leanne were fantastic. We've met a few times. I listened to their podcast. It was fantastic. And it was just, it's really nice to connect with other people in a similar situation, other people who are so passionate, who are volunteering, but are trying to do this on the side of their day job. And again, and that helps with the efficiency. So who are your contacts? How are you doing this? How are you overcoming some of those hurdles you're facing? And just to shout out someone else, again, I think that was related to Elliot. When you did your Working Dads Awards, I saw all of the LinkedIn hype about Tim from Aon. And so I reached out to him. I connected with him. We've had some meetings with him and our committee. We've now got four dads on our committee, and I'm really excited to say that we're hoping to set up a dad subgroup. And that was inspired by what we were seeing on LinkedIn, what we saw from Elliot's awards, what we saw from what Tim was doing. And we just want to normalize it's okay to be a dad. It's okay to be an involved dad, to get involved, to share if you're struggling with anything. So I think it's really important to have those external partnerships because of the efficiency aspect, but also because of the ideas and the innovation.
I was going to ask you a different question, but as you've mentioned dads and involved dads, I think I will pass the baton to Elliot to comment on the dad's perspective.
Okay. No pressure now. What do I say?
You're never short of anything to say, Elliot.
Yeah, I know. No, that's really cool. And I think, you know, what you're saying there about the power of the networks is so important, isn't it? You know, even before we started recording, disclaimer for everyone, we were talking about parenting and how half term can sometimes be a struggle, but we love our children, of course. But just having a chat and, you know, doesn't necessarily have to have a solution or an outcome, but just relating to people who have a shared experience, like that can be so much, and that can do so much for people. So it's really good to hear that you're connecting with other people who do similar things, which is great. On the dad side of things then, so obviously you're looking to start a dad's kind of subgroup. How have you found engaging dads in your work, like in your general events and initiatives? Have you found that to be something that's kind of come easy, or have you struggled with it? And what can you say in terms of good practice?
I think, I've been on the network 3 years. I was probably events lead I started about 2 years ago, and I've been co-chair for almost a year. Historically, I'd say our events were probably more attended by mums. There were dads present, but they were probably more attended by the mums. We had a couple of events, one with yourself, one with Rachel from Educated Matters, which were targeted specifically at dads. And we proactively went out to engage with our connections to try and get them involved. And it was just fascinating to see the different types of conversations to come up. And even as a mum, it opened my mind, it opened other mums' minds about what the dads were going through. So hearing about, say, their experience of things like childbirth, that's not solely a woman's story. It's really interesting to see how dads felt about these things. I think over time, dads have been more involved. Dads are getting more involved in asking questions on the Teams group. They're getting more involved in sharing their stories. And the more we can normalise it, the more we can shout about it, the more we can create a safe space for them, the more that will happen. So I'm really excited for our dads group to go live and for what that will bring in terms of membership and more support within our company.
Do you think then, Liz, with the involvement of dads, with the involvement of you alongside your day job, with, as you've said, helps your own, I suppose, your own profile on LinkedIn, talking about these great things, it gives you a community to share stories and to normalise this parenting juggle we're all included in. Do you think that enables you to be a better employee? Because you have a structure around you, you have support around you, you have the, I suppose, an outlet for sharing. Does that make you, I don't know, a better employee, a better mum, a better partner?
Absolutely. I think as well, it just creates that self-awareness. And I think that's a big thing about a lot of the events we do. We do a lot of positive parenting webinars. And it's, we were saying pre-recording, it's not about being a perfect parent. Everyone has their good and bad days as a parent. We bring our own baggage as well, depending on what's going on in personal life, what's going on with work. And actually, just having that safe space, just putting a pause on things, just listening to either an expert speak, or, as Elliot said, just listening to someone speak. Everyone has an opinion. It doesn't need to be that you're an expert. Some of the things that I found most rewarding on our network are when people come in and share their stories. So one thing I shared a couple of years ago, it was maternal mental health week, I think, and I just shared an authentic open post about the kind of things I struggled with and what I was starting to become more aware of and the implication that could have on my young daughter. And it is just normalizing those conversations. And it's really nice to see people who don't normally comment, who don't normally follow, getting engaged in that conversation, starting to open up themselves. And then it just makes it gives permission. It makes it okay to start having those conversations, to be vulnerable. In the past, people wouldn't talk about mental health. It's not a bad thing. It's part of all of us. And we all, like I say, have our good and bad days. And that's a big thing of the network for me, is just normalizing. Shout about it. Say if you need support. There's a huge amount of a passionate community of parents here who are happy to support. But also it's a place for managers as well. If managers want to come and get support, they can get support to support the people that they manage that are parents. You don't need to be a parent to be part of our community.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that. I think just the power of sharing stories, you know, and just knowing, oh, someone else has experienced something similar. That's so, so powerful. And I think, networks are, you know, uniquely placed to be able to do that. It'll be really good to hear from you, Liz, an example. Sounds like an interview, right? Can you give me an example of when? but at a time when you've run a really good event that had that authenticity and openness and peer support sharing. Like, what went into organizing it? I think a lot of the people I speak to who are looking to start a network or start a group, the thing they get stuck with is, how do I create the space? Like, what is there a specific theme? Do I need a speaker? How long should it be? How do I do it practically? So can you talk us through, like, you know, one of your events that you're really proud of, just a few of the things that you did in advance and during the event to make it a success?
Yeah. So one event that we've recently done is about volunteering. So as part of Centrica's corporate targets, we allow people 15 hours of volunteering a year. And we know from a parent's perspective that lots of our parents go in and support in their schools. So it could be the PTA, it could be on school trips, but not everyone knows that they can use their volunteering time to do it. So we ran an event, which we worked with the corporate volunteering team. We got people in, passionate parents or non-parents, who talked through their experience of using this time to support their local school. So it was things like a school governor helping on a school trip, coaching a football team, helping on the PTA. And so it was being clear on, this is what our objective is, working with the internal people to identify what we wanted to cover. So the corporate volunteering team, going out to our exec sponsor to get sponsorship, being slightly cheeky with another person on the exec team who had reached out to us on World Book Day saying, I read in my daughter's school, I want to post about this on the network. So me being me, I asked her, would you like to be involved in this event? Thinking, even if we can just get a 5-minute recording of her talking about her passion, that would be great. But instead, she came along and she co-hosted the event, which was fantastic. So then we're getting buy-in from the top. So yeah, it's just being clear on the objective, making sure with your team who's doing what's being done, getting the people involved who are going to speak passionately about the topic, and then just having that Q&A. And I think it can be, as for anything with a parents network, it can be as hard or as simple as you want it to be. So going back to the dads group thing that I was talking about, that's going to be a subgroup of our network. We don't need an exec sponsor unless we really want to. We don't need a big bang launch unless we really want to. To get it over the line, we're trying to push it for Father's Day. And it's going to be the four dads on our committee having a simple chat, answering a few simple questions, normalizing, sharing their stories, and just getting that audience, promoting the group. We could go big bang, we could get an external party in, but that would be a different route. And neither route is right or wrong, but you can do, it can be as simple as you want it to be, or it can be as big bang and golden as you want it to be.
And then does your influence then stretch out also into HR and working with them on policy and that kind of thing?
Yeah, so we do work with HR a little bit. I'd say one thing that we do with HR is we've got HR people on our network. So if people post about questions, then we can tag those specific people to answer those questions to get an official line. And things like the school strikes, that's had such a huge impact on so many of our parents. It was really great to have some contacts that we could go to say, what is the company line? We know that comms has gone out for the business to support managers, so managers can have those proactive conversations. But we want to support people from an employee perspective. Let us help from a parents network perspective. So we got a company line to post on there. And I think just in terms of the returners journey, whenever we're getting feedback about this is working, this isn't working with the online journey, we can highlight it to the right people so they can make those changes.
And then you talked about when you returned, and that's when you started 3 years ago. Do you think now then, and it sounds like it, that the returners journey now be not quite a different experience, but a different experience to when you came back, pandemic aside?
Definitely. I think so. When I came back, we'd obviously all just been sent home. It was very unexpected. I remember coming back and on my parental returner session, sitting there with about 10 other people and not knowing basic things like, how do I use Teams? I came back to work and no one told me how to use Teams. I've never used it before. And now it's just the norm. It's what we all do. But back then it wasn't. Whereas, and even now, how we approach things like those parental returner sessions, that was a very informal conversation then. Now we try and put in, these are some of the reminders, these are some of the things you need to know about. So from a government perspective, there's the tax-free childcare, there's child benefit. From a company perspective, there's benefits we offer that you need to know about. So have you claimed back your bank holidays from when you've been on maternity leave? If you're part-time, do you know you qualify for your bank holidays? This is how you go about claiming it. We've got a childbirth benefit as part of our medical package. Do you know that you can get that? This is as simple as it is to go out and get it. So it's signposting people to those things. So I think with everything over time, it's about responding to feedback, whether it's from our members, whether it's from HR, whether it's from our exec sponsors, whether it's our needs, and then just trying to evolve and create something based on that.
Yeah, I love all that. And also just picking up on what you said before around things don't have to be the big bang, shiny, expensive stuff. Actually, you can do stuff. I don't even want to say at a small scale because it's so impactful, but you can do things kind of light touch and it can have just as much impact. And I think that's a really important message as well, because with staff networks or just kind of anything in life that you're looking to do, starting and doing it consistently is like very important. And sometimes we can put pressure on ourselves to feel like it has to be perfect or massive or a big launch and there needs to be loads of people there and all this sort of stuff. And sometimes if you don't have the infrastructure around, that's hard to sustain. Whereas things like, you know, starting the dad's group with the four guys and just doing stuff consistently, that can really build and be powerful for the people that need it. So I think that's a really important point to make. I have a really interesting question about governance, actually. Very interesting topic about governance, but in running a staff network, I think the governance is really important. So, you know, you as the co-chair, what does your executive team look like? How did you recruit them? And do you have an executive team, first of all? If you do, how did you recruit them? And how do you delegate roles in terms of who does what?
So I presume by executive team, you mean our committee. We have about 10 of us on the committee. When I first started, I think a lot fell to our two founders, Amelia and Emma. And there were other people that were involved in specific tasks or specific projects. And I think the reality is people were struggling at times because you have got your other priorities, you've got your day job, people might be going for career progression, people might be having personal commitments that they need to address as well. So I think some of it has come about naturally. So people just wanting to lean in, people wanting to get involved, people commenting on the network and then reaching out to the chairs to be involved. Some of it is us reaching out to people. Some of it is our exec sponsor connecting us with people. Initially, we started out with very specific roles, so events lead, comms lead. And I think over time, again, we've realised not everyone can commit to that on a consistent basis. And some people are feeling quite a lot of pressure. So now we do this lean in, lean out approach. And how Amelia and I try to work with the committee is to really try and say to them, how can we help? How can we support? So we might have all these different subgroups. We might have different activities like we want to do a first aid course. We've got this dad subgroup. We've got a different positive parenting webinar that we want to do. People put their hands up at our committee meetings to say what they want to own. And then it's a case of us meeting up with them and keeping them accountable. So what support do you need? How are you progressing? What are your timings on this? And if they can't do it, but I have to admit, I perhaps try to support a bit too much at times. And sometimes you need to pull yourself back because you can't do it all. You need to be there to lead, not doing the do all the time. And I think that's how it's easy to be burnt out in these kind of volunteer roles. If you're trying to do it all, it's really about empowering your team, upskilling them. And if there's something, one thing we really try to do with them is if there's some kind of skill that they specifically want to develop, how can we help you get exposure to that skill? So you're not only doing something you're passionate about, but you're learning something along the way.
And that passion, I think, obviously, that motivates all of you, but as you say, can quite quickly lead to burnout. So just talking about some of the small steps and the impacts that even these small things can do. For anyone who hasn't got a network potentially at their organization and wants to start one, what do you think are the first, again, those small steps just to get that consistency going? What could people start doing?
So I think if you want to start a network, it could be as simple as, if you've got Teams, setting up a Teams group. It could be going out and publicising it. So if there's town halls, if there's newsletters, if there's an intranet article you can do to shout about, this is what we're going to do. Having an event, perhaps, and that could be the big bang approach we talked about, or it could be something that's really casual, but it's just creating a space. I think that's the most important thing, creating a space for people to have a talk. In previous companies before the pandemic, we used to have in-person events, and that was really fantastic. You'd have some networking, you'd have the opportunity to meet people. That's fantastic, and that's a great opportunity to meet with people. But the virtual aspect does mean you can record it. It means that you can cast it out wider to a different group. I think just have the confidence that you don't need to be an expert. You can do it. You can just, it's just small steps, and it's getting that support and asking for help where you need it.
And something that we spoke to John Lewis about, or John Lewis partnership about, was because, imagine similar to Centrica, a lot of the employees are not necessarily office-based with access to Teams and, I suppose, a flexible working arrangement potentially, which I imagine is the same for Centrica.
Yeah.
So how do you manage that? How do you manage to get everyone involved, even those who don't have as easy access, I guess, to these kind of resources as others?
So I think it's a couple of things for us. And I don't think we're there, but I think it's, again, it's an awareness piece. We know about it and we're doing things to try and help us get there. So we've got our customer facing teams who could be people on the phones. We've got our engineers who could be going into people's homes. The engineers won't necessarily have laptops. If they want to listen to one of our events, it's probably going to be in their own time. So it has to be something that's really meaningful to them. I think from the people I've spoken to in that environment, it's having an awareness that this exists, having access to these things. They know that the recordings are there. They know that the policy exists. What tangible differences can I access straight away? So things like that childbirth benefit. It's knowing that the Teams group is there. If they want to post something and get some support, they've got a community they can go to. I think as a wider piece, I think it's, again, that awareness. Even our head office roles, not everyone knows that our networks exist. So it's overcoming that boundary of that hurdle of how do we spread the news? But again, making sure the content is right, the relevance is right, and you're publicising it in the right way. But also, again, it's that efficiency piece. So if myself and Amelia, if the other committee members are going out and sharing this, how can we do this in an efficient way? So one of the things we're trying to do is set up a video, just basically that it can just be played at least these different town halls or in small team huddles. So it's not us having to go along to multiple meetings, but it's a resource that's automatically available to help us shine and to share our news.
Certainly has to bring out your creativity, doesn't it? I can't get these things across. So before we wrap up today, Elliot, do you have any final closing questions or comments, or Liz, and anything else that you wanted to make sure we got across before we finish up today?
I just think if people want to do this kind of thing, don't be scared. It's such a fantastic experience. I think shout about it on things like LinkedIn, because you can make some awesome connections by doing so. You can gather new ideas. I think some of the things that I'd really like us to focus on, and I think John Lewis mentioned some of these things, some of the ideas that we get for our events could be coming from our Teams sessions. So it could be from people commenting, but it's also about what we need. So at the moment, for instance, I'm in a place where for the last few years, I'm juggling all the balls. I'm thinking, do I focus on my career? Do I focus on my kids? And you feel conflicted with all of this. And actually, talking to a lot of other parents, so many parents are in that field. Doesn't mean that you have to push yourself forward, but when is the right time to do these kind of things? So it's looking for inspiration from anywhere. It could be from what you need, what you're seeing from other people, what you're seeing on the Teams group, but just go and do it. And it has such a huge impact on people's lives, these kind of things. So it's really worth it. It's really valuable.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, really well said, Liz. I think, what you said there is profound, really. I think that the impact it can have on people, you'll never really know, you know, the impact it has, because it might be so deep, it might not kind of come to light straight away. Sometimes people need time to reflect and take things away, and it's change, isn't it? And change is not always measurable and tangible in that way. But I think, yeah, for anyone listening, start small if you need to. Don't be put off by a lack of resource or maybe a lack of participation or support. You know, I think sometimes big things grow out of like small beginnings. So definitely start. And also just to say, well done. You know, I think that point you said there around doing things based on your own need is really important. The whole reason that I supported Music Football Fatherhood, I started Music Football Fatherhood, was because of my own own needs. And what I find really interesting about that as well is that our needs change over time as our children get older, or as they encounter different things, or we encounter different things, like those needs can develop. So don't feel bad, you know, for anyone listening to start a network based on what you need. That is fine. And what is important within that is that you listen to your people, as you said, and you take advice and you take a steer from what people in your network want, because ultimately that's going to mean the network has longevity and sustainability, and it's going to really meet the needs of the people in the organization. But yeah, I'm a massive fan of staff networks. I love Centrica. I work closely with Centrica and Devi and yourself, Liz. So yeah, thanks so much for coming on the podcast, and well done. Keep up all the good work.
Thank you for having me. It's been amazing.
No, it's been great. Thank you so much for sharing so openly. It's been great. As you say, the impact this has, and you're sharing this story with us now, will have an impact on people listening. So yeah, it's just these small conversations all amount to much more than I think we realise. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks both. Bye.
Thanks, Liz.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Parent Equation Culture Shift podcast. To find out more about me, head to aishamurray.com. And to find out more about Elliot, head to musicfootballfatherhood.com. And please remember to like, leave a rating or a review.